For I figured it'd be easier to, for you to find Acts chapter 5 than it would be Acts 4:35. So look up, take your eyes and go up. I hope you know this already, but the Bible was not broke into chapters and verses when it was first translated. It was just people got together and said, hey, this would be a good place to stop, this would be a good place to stop. So, but it gives context to what we're going to preach tonight, okay? And we got to remember when I'm preaching this, this is the beginning of the New Testament church. But not only, I don't like to give the comp out that that's the New Testament church beginning and therefore we don't have to worry about it. We do. I just think there was a bigger emphasis on, because when you first start something, it's got to be good. Because if it starts out bad, it's just going to go worse and worse and worse. Amen? So I wanted y'all to see that. Just, I gave y'all enough time, I think. Acts chapter 5. But let's go back up to about verse 35. And it says, and laid them down. Matter of fact, let's go to verse 34. It makes it even better. Neither was there any among them that lacked. This is the early New Testament church. Ain't that cool? Nobody had lack. For as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the prices to the things, the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And the distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. That's pretty neat, ain't it? And Josias, who by the apostle was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation or an encourager. God, I love that. A Levite and of that country Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. I love Barnabas. Amen. Paul, if you understand, Barnabas went with Paul quite a bit early. Paul is the one that kind of consoled everybody and let everybody know that Paul was okay. Now, okay, Paul, the one who's killing and slaying and beating in prison and killing women and children of the church, you can trust him. I've witnessed a man got saved and he's preaching the gospel. But what gets me is every good evangelist wants somebody who's an encourager to ride with them. Hey man, I love you. Hey, you're doing a great job. Hey, you're not doing this in vain. I tell you, that is so much needed in our churches today, is encouraging one another, lifting each other up. We get tore down enough by ourselves and Satan and probably just a few choice people. Man, there is nothing more valuable than somebody that will come alongside of you every once in a while. Not that you ask them to, but out of the kindness of their heart, they encourage you. I'll bet you any amount of money that Paul was around Barnabas several times and Barnabas said something like, what you're doing is amazing. We really appreciate you. Man, we need somebody like you. I bet Paul said it when he was talking to the Lord, I can go with just about anybody, but it'd be awesome if you would send me with Barnabas. Man, ain't that, I just love that. But I want you to understand the context here. Barnabas was about to go on the mission field for the rest of his life. He didn't need a house. He didn't need a house. He didn't need land. And people were doing this who were totally in the New Testament church were like, I don't need my house, don't need my property. I'm just going to sell it. And they'd take it up to the church and lay it down and say, distribute it to everybody. We're good. I'm going for Jesus. Amen. Well, that's got to be exciting but scary at the same time. But Barnabas already made up his mind. I know where I'm going. I ain't going to need my home. Now listen, everybody's not a Barnabas. Everybody's not going on the road. Amen. Because you know what? Some people in the church need a house. And that's okay. It's okay to have stuff. But here's what it was. God wanted to show something to the new. I can't believe Acts chapter 5's in there. Can you? And I can't believe I'm preaching it. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back. That means stole, lied, just trying to trick God, held back part of the price his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. What he did is he said, you know, in the very beginning of the church, he's seeing all these people come and do it, and he's seeing the reaction of the people. He's like, man, everybody glorifies them when they do that. They weren't glorifying them. They were glorifying God. And the people who were doing that weren't seeking their own popularity or glory. They were just doing what they knew that was right before God. I mean, some of us need to make a note right there. Everybody's office, everybody's operation is not our operation. Don't try to get something somebody else has or think that somebody's doing something for a reason if you really don't know. Man, he's like, man, Ananias, we can sell this land and we'll hold back part of it, but then we'll go in front of them and lay it down like, you know what, like we sold the whole thing. And guess what? We'll get some of that glory. You can't steal God's glory. You can't. And this is early in the New Testament church. But I hate to tell you this, this kind of goes on today in our churches today. We try to trick God when we better know this. You can't trick God. You can fool man, you can fool people, but you cannot fool God. I can't, you can't, we won't. Man, they did it. They come in there and they had a great plan. Listen, could you imagine them talking about this? Husbands, I hate to worry you out right here, but man, this is a bad plan. Sometimes when you and your wife hatch up a bad plan, men, eventually in this thing, you got to go, hey, this is a bad plan. We don't need to do this. He said, why are you laying it off on the men? We're supposed to be the leaders, spiritual leaders of our household. Amen? So every once in a while we need to make, when it's going bad and it's going real bad, the buck starts at it stops at us. Y'all don't believe me. Can I show you that I'm telling the truth? Can I? I'll say you, some of you are looking at me like, no, no. And listen, Romans chapter 5, right? Romans chapter 5 says, through one man's sin, right, death reigned upon the earth. There was no honorable mention of his wife, Eve. Amen? It said, through one man's disobedience, sin and death entered the world. It didn't even give Eve an honorable mention. Amen? It didn't say, through one man's disobedience and sin, parentheses, his wife, sin and death entered. No, it did not. You know why? Because he was ultimately in charge. He was standing there. I love how the Bible says it. She took of the fruit and ate, oh, it's good, and turned and handed it to him. And golly, a lot of things ain't changed in years, has it? Where the man should have stood, maybe stepped between Satan, his wife, and the tree, and said, we should not be here. We're leaving. We just stand there sometimes quietly because we don't want to start a ruckus. We don't want to fight. We don't have disagreement. We want things to get out of control. But if we don't speak up, we don't do the spiritual thing. And some of y'all might be reading me the wrong way right here, because I'm telling you this. I'm not a heavy-handed wife. Don't get to say, no, no, no. They're a helpmate, but God is literally looking at you, man. You are the husband or the house band. That's how that translates. You're supposed to hold the house together. Amen? That's how he gave us that name. Amen? All right, so I show you that. And they come up with this great plan. And he laid it at the apostles' feet. Man, I bet. Listen, it's hard to talk like this, but I bet he come in like a peacock. Probably holding the money up, you know? Just waiting. When's the time? We lay it before the feet. All right. Looking around. Right? How does God tell us to give? Do it where the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing. Amen? What you get, don't even let nobody know about that way. That way you don't receive your reward from the people watching you, from people, because the reward from them will be, good job! You get your pat on the back. It says, do it where nobody will even know you're doing it, and that way God can reward you. Amen? Look, I don't want the man reward, because that's temporal and it's not as good as when God does it. When God does it, man, he does it good. Amen? When you give the way God tells you to give, when you pray the way God tells you to pray, when you do it without nobody, when you give your alms, you don't make a, watch me give. Amen? Man, when you sneak it in, when you don't even know, I'm just giving the way God wants me to give, and I'm going to be a good giver, and I'm going to be a blessed giver, but I'm just going to let God, He knows what I'm doing. He's taking good record. He's taking good account. And I'm going to tell you right now, I could tell you, I could sit up here and preach to you all the different ways God can bless you, but it's just amazing what God can bless when you give Him, when you trust Him with what He's given you. It's amazing what God can do. He stretches stuff. Amen? I'm not telling you, I ain't going to be one of them preachers, you give this, you're going to get that, but I have seen God stretch some stuff. Amen? I've seen vehicles that just, have you ever done that? Just driving down, everybody else, BMWs, everything else, sitting on the side of the road, and here you going, brrr. Hey man, every bolt and every screw might not be tied, but praise God, she's still rolling. I'm just telling you, God is good. And people get on me, y'all, you preachers, you're just worried about my money. I'm trying to help you out. I'm being honest, man. It's dangerous trying to say, God, I ain't giving you nothing. Close-handed, close-fisted, close-minded. Man, God sit there and go, what? With what I'm not asking. God ain't going bankrupt. God ain't needing nothing from you. What it is just show, just like when you used to, has your kids ever blessed you? Just be thinking, has your kids ever blessed you? Man, I've had my kids, everyone, you go, here's, Dad, I thought you might, and you're like, I'm about to wear you out with some blessing. You know what I mean? They do something for you, clean something, fix you a meal. I mean, you'll go out of your way to bless them. He's a good father. He's better than us. You don't think He can outgive? I didn't even want to get into a giving type thought on this. That wouldn't even cross in my mind. But I thought while we're here, we might as well plow some of them clods up. Amen? But Peter said unto Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep part of the price of the land? Who did he say he's lying to? The Holy Ghost. You know what this does? This brings on lying. This is also a bring on line that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, he's a part of the Trinity. He's equal to. He's not something that just, does some of this and does some of that. He is co-equal. So you've got co-equal living inside of you. You've got God living on the inside of you. Ain't that awesome? And listen, there's a thing going on here. See, a lot of people don't like to touch Acts chapter 5 is because it shows God, a merciful God, but also a righteous judging God. I'm telling you right now, there's some churches that I could think of off the top of my head, they ain't never touching this. Because if they tell you that God will hold you accountable, then you know what? That means God holds you accountable to what He calls right and what He calls wrong. He's got somebody standing right there in front of him. And listen, I think these people thought they had pulled it off. Whew. God will turn your check engine light on you, right? Ever had Him do that to you? Everything seems, systems seem like they're a go. You're still cruising, but bing! Check gauges. Check tire pressure. Something's amiss. Amen? You need to do a systems check. There's something going on. I love this. This is hard. This is good stuff. This is a crazy place in the Bible. Listen to what he says in verse 4. While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, what is it not in thy power? I love these good questions. Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Boy, he's gut-shotting him, man. Man, I believe these people are believers. This is the New Testament church. They let some things get in their head. I'll be a hypocrite. I'll do one thing and I'll pass it off as another. I'll get some glory. I'll get some of God's glory. I'll get some glory from the people. It's dangerous ground. Was it not yours? This is what he asked me. Was it not your house or your land? Yes. After you sold it, was the money not yours? Yes. You know what he's saying right there? There was all kinds of grace for you. Number one, you didn't have to sell the land. That was on you. Number two, you could have come in here and said, this is half of it. We want to keep the other half. God would have been okay. You might need to buy you another smaller place, downsize. That's fine. But he said, you got a heart problem. God, I wish I could get this across the way it's been given to me. Your outward problems are not an outward problem. It's a heart problem. He said, you've got a heart issue. What you did is you've got something wrong on the inside of you, and it's showing itself. If there's some things going wrong on the outside, it's because you've got a heart issue, and you need to let God get in there and work. So why in the world did you think you could lie to God? Man, I need this tattooed somewhere or put on a... You know what I mean? Have you ever thought, like, y'all be bear with me, have you ever thought like this before, that somehow God just don't know as much as you know? You think he's lacking information? Like he's not up on the current events? Well, God, did you not know this? He is the way the Bible, he's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He knows it all. And you're like sometimes going, well, God, I need to fill you in. I can't help but go a little bit further right there. Sometimes our prayer life is funny. We do all the talking and none of the listening. I mean, it's funny. We go and run a list on God and we don't even ask him what he thinks about it. I'm serious. Sometimes, you know what, some of the best, I said this, I've probably said this 20 times since I've been the pastor here. It'd be good if we would sometimes just shut up in prayer. I mean, just be quiet and wait on God. Some of y'all don't like that I said that, but you know what? It's good to tell God some stuff, but every once in a while, wouldn't it be good if we got in prayer and just said, God, deal with my heart that I'll know how to pray in this situation. Man, God sent me to places. I've been in hospital rooms. I've been in places. And I'm praying one way, and God's pulling in another way. And it takes me a week or two to figure out that I wasn't trying to heal that person. I'm trying to save some people. Man, I could say that a couple more times. Somebody got saved. Praise God. Hallelujah, man. That's good news, ain't it? That sends chill bumps down your back when you hear that. But I was just thinking, you know what I mean? We need the model prayer, our Father who art in heaven, right? He starts out that way. Our Father who art in heaven. Most of our prayers start out, hey, God, do this. Hey, God, do that. How many of them's getting saved over there? Well, on the wrong side of the road. Hallelujah. Was that two or three? Oh, they just kept ringing. Praise God, I have a line around the room there over there. That's good. That's good. God, we thank you for saving souls. Like that. What amazing stuff. Hallowed be thy name. What is that? It's worship. It's worship. Think about your prayer life now. Do you ever go into prayer with worship first? Or is it list first? Things went first. Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Huh? Thy will be done. God, I don't even know. Listen, I don't even know what we're doing. But God, let your will be done. Huh? Ain't that neat? That's why you go into prayer. We got it all. We're trying to pray and tell God what to do and how to do it. Go in your prayer closet, shut the door. Worship God, listen to Him. And then when you line your spirit up with Him and let the Spirit of God start working in you, the next thing you know, you're praying in line with God. The Holy Spirit making utterance for you because you don't even know what He needs, but the Holy Spirit, I'm preaching, the Holy Spirit in you knows exactly what God's want because He's God. He can line up, and the next thing you know, you're praying in line with Him. Thank you, God. Thank you for that. Thank you that I don't have to. It ain't my job to heal, fix, save. My job is to get in line with God and pray accordingly. Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. That means he died. He died. There's a lot worse things than dying. Dying lost is the number one thing that's worse than dying. Amen? Listen, I know it. I could easily go on. I could just cruise on through this and not touch it. But let me tell you something. When somebody passes away, it ain't because God didn't like them. He didn't love them more than them. Man, I'll tell you right now, if God let somebody that's saved pass away, that you ain't. When we get to heaven, that when we cross one step into glory, that person, after you worship, after whatever happens, when you run into them first, they're going to say, that was my best day. You ain't believing me, and I don't. Sometimes I'm your pastor, I'm a preacher. Sometimes in my flesh I don't half believe that, but I can't wait till I get to glory and my faith ends in sight. And there'll be some old saints sitting there going, best day. It was just a blink of an eye, and there you was. See, we're still living in time. They're not. They're living in eternity. When you get there, it's just going to be like a blink of an eye. They're going to be like, hey, it was just like yesterday. I got here and here you are. I can't even hold it. I can't help myself. You don't mind. We ain't got nowhere else to be. When we get to heaven, there's going to be people. It will take you probably 10,000 years to figure out who they are. Because the last time you seen them, you had in your mind that crumpled, sick, depleted, weak person. And if I get overwhelmed, I'm going to leave. Somebody else better handle this. You'll be walking around heaven going, where are they? I ain't found them. I can't see them. Where they at? They look like this. Everybody, and they was, and we ain't got nobody like that. You don't believe what I'm saying. But see, Jesus showed up after the crucifixion, and He had walked next to people that had walked with Him for 3 years, and they couldn't figure out who He was because He had a new glorified body, and what they was looking for was a crucified, tore up, unrecognizable body. But He didn't show up that way. He showed up in what He looks like in heaven, and they're walking around with Him, and all of a sudden they're like, oh my God, I didn't recognize you. Yeah, you didn't recognize me because you was looking for something that I'm not. We're going to get to heaven and we're going to see some people, and they'll probably stand right in front of us, and we'll be like, have you seen so-and-so? Well, hello. Because I got that new glorified body. It ain't who you're looking for. I'm doing well. I got that healing you was talking about. No, you know what? You do pretty good. You do pretty good. You maintain well. I'll just tell you that. I don't know if that's a compliment or not, but you maintain well. Because some of you have got some loved ones that has passed on, and right now you would have gave a nickel to be like, hallelujah, praise God. I'm glad that you told me that, because I keep seeing them tore up and broken. But God, I know they're whole, because He's better than that. He's better than that. My God's better than that. Whew. I tell you, I still think the maddest man in the Bible was Lazarus. Just like two sisters to turn God to get him woke up out of the grave. I bet he looked at them two sisters, what are you thinking? I done crossed over, I was doing fine. I was living 4 days on the other side, and here you bring me back. Had to be Mary's fault. She's a fix-it girl. Any fix-it people in here? I'll just fix it. I'll get Jesus to bring him back. I know I'm taking liberty, but I can see him in his grave clothes hopping out. Mary, I tell you. Martha just sitting over with her hand up. God's good. Be good. That's good. Think about it, though. The young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. Man, things are happening in the New Testament church. And it was about the space of 3 hours when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much, and said, yea, for so much. Whew. And sometimes you might want to look around. Have you seen my husband? Never mind, that ain't, but I'm just saying, ain't. Think about it. Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Can I tell you something? Just because your husband's doing messed up stuff, you can't do messed up stuff? All right, can I go a little bit further? Yes, I can, because I'm preaching, right? Stop comparing yourself to other believers or people you believe that are believers. Well, they can do this and they get away with it. Well, that makes me, that way I can do this. Well, so-and-so done this, so I can do that. That ain't the case. If God brings conviction on your heart about something that He considers wrong in your life, you better abide by that whether everybody else does it. I had this question just the other day. Somebody pulled me aside and said, do you believe this is wrong? I said, if you're asking me, it's one of them marginal questions. Amen? I don't know if there are any marginal, but you know what I'm saying. There's always something, right? And I said, you know what? That brings me great conviction. I would never do it. But if they can do it and there's no conviction there, that's fine. But I would never do it. They're like, oh, I understand. I said, but listen, that's how you got to live your life as a Christian. If God puts conviction on your heart about it, don't do it. I don't care if 10,000 people that you, I don't care if the greatest evangelist, greatest missionary, greatest pastor in the world was doing it. That don't mean it's okay for you to do. If God says don't do it, there's a reason for it. That's how I live my life. But can I tell you something, the other flip side of that? If God's all right with it, I don't care if 1,000 people tell me it's wrong. I would never preach like that. Oh, good, I didn't ask you. I would never have nobody like you at our church. Great, I didn't want to be there. Right? Well, if I found out a pastor doing like that, I wouldn't know. Well, good. That's probably why God never sent me down your way. I'm happy about that, and so should you be. You understand what I'm saying? And you'll get that as long as you go. So other people got convictions. Other people, hey. But listen, if God's putting it on your heart, if you know it's wrong and you're trying to pull it off, I don't care. Ooh, we're gonna dance on the ice. If your husband's doing it, it's wrong, you can't do it. If your wife's doing it, it's wrong, you can't do it. You need to be a little bit more vocal about it, but at the same time, sometimes just not being a participant speaks louder than anything else. Just being not being a participant. Amen? I ain't going to do that. Well, okay, that's hard to do, isn't it? You know how my dad's ended up not drinking? My stepmom got saved. And after about 4 or 5 times to the beer store, she came out to the car, handed him a key, says, I'm telling you this, I'll never do this again. I'll never go into another beer store. I'll never drive you to a beer store. You'll have to do it yourself. Hey, her spirit was talking, and God says you can't do it, but she was afraid in her body because she thought, he will kill me. Amen? You know what he said? Never ask her again. Not long after that, he got saved. Sometimes it's just as simple as, hey, even the persons you love the most, if God's bringing conviction on your heart, don't do it. This part about this story amazes me. Listen, and Peter said, okay, verse 10. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her forth buried and buried her by her husband. A great fear upon all the church, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. So, and they that were with one accord in Solomon's porch, and the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women. This was a catapult into revival where multitudes of men and women were added to the church. You can do it right and still grow as a church. You can do it right and still grow as a church. You say, that's impossible. People tell me that all the time. That's impossible. No, what it is people are searching for the real thing. You're either liberal and you don't even have a clue where Jesus is or what He's doing, or you're legalistic and you're closed-minded and you won't let anybody do anything, telling you what they can't, what they can't do, or you can be as real as rain. And when people find out you got bread and they're hungry, they'll come to it. Some people ask me all the time, well, why are y'all doing? Because we got real. We got Jesus, and we're not making people jump this high to get to it. And we're not so far away from this and that. We're not trying to be some liberal church that we don't mention His name, we don't mention His blood, we don't mention His salvation, we don't mention how powerful He is. No, we do it all. And you know what? People are starving for that. And we'll do it until we're done. Amen? What amazes me is the church grew through a little bit of tough love from God. You would think if something like that happened, people would run from the church. But what they realized is that God is a living God, but God is a powerful judging God. Once you get that healthy fear understanding, I think the Bible reads like this: the beginning of all wisdom is the fear of God. You start to realize, wait a minute. This God has control over where my eternity spends, where my soul spends eternity. But He's also powerful enough to take care of me no matter what. I think that's a healthy relationship. Amen? It's good. Let's all stand. As they come, get a song of invitation. If God's dealt with your